Today is the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the book of Judith. The Lord has blessed thee by his power, because by thee he has brought our enemies to naught. Blessed art thou, O daughter, by the Lord, the Most High God, above all women upon the earth. Blessed be the Lord who made heaven and earth, who has directed thee to the cutting off the head of the prince of our enemies, because he has so magnified thy name this day that thy praise shall not depart out of the mouth of men, who shall be mindful of the power of the Lord forever. For that thou hast not spared thy life by reason of the distress and tribulation of thy people, but hast prevented our ruin in the presence of our God. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem, thou art the joy of Israel, thou art the honor of our people. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 41 to 50. At that time, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And how have I deserved that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, the moment that the sound of thy greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who has believed, because the things promised her by the Lord shall be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaid. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. It is said that about the Blessed Virgin Mary, there is never enough. De Maria numquam satis. This is what is said by the saints. So we could speak about her continually. We would never be able to praise her as she deserves. This is how much God has raised her up above all men, above all creation. St. Thomas Aquinas says that her dignity is quasi-infinite. Imagine that. This is how high she is. He does not say that it is infinite, because only God is infinite, and everything about God is infinite. We hear scientists talk about infinite space and infinite numbers and all these infinite things in the world. And this is all lies, because God is the only one who is infinite. But we speak about other things as being quasi-infinite. So, for instance, we have told you that the saints tell us that the number of angels is quasi-infinite. because they were created, each of them, as an image of some perfection of God. And God's perfections are infinite. We also know that our Blessed Mother is very much like our Lord and Savior. And even though our Lord and Savior is God and man, and so he is certainly infinite in his divinity in every way, his humanity is finite. And so everything about Christ that is related to his humanity is finite. It is quasi-infinite. So we say his knowledge is quasi-infinite. So it is like God's knowledge, but it is not the same. And his mother is like him. That's the way he made her, like himself. So we know that from the first moment of her creation, the first moment of her existence inside Saint Anne's womb, we know that she loved God. She was given the gift of reason, you remember? And we know that she loved God more than all of the saints and angels put together. And she was holier than all of the angels and saints together at that first moment of her existence. And we know that she continued to grow in love of God and holiness until the moment of her death. And they say that her increase in holiness was with each moment. It was exponential. Because every act of love of God increased her love of God and her holiness beyond our understanding. This is the way we grow in holiness also, isn't it? In a way similar to our Blessed Mother. At least this is what we are expected to do. Not in the same degree, but how do we grow in love of God and holiness? How do we grow in merit? Each act that we perform, which should be done for love of God, but each act of love of God, each act of virtue, is meant to be with as much love of God as we possess. This is what we should be doing. This is the reason why fervor is so important to us. We are meant to act with fervor all the time. And so you know that our spiritual life is in many ways similar to our physical life. And so God has given us his life, a share in his life, and it acts in tandem with our body. And so our virtues are like our physical strengths. And you know that if you have some physical ability, you must use it. You know the expression, use it or lose it. Right? use it or lose it. This is the case with our knowledge. If we don't continually use the knowledge that we have, we lose it. And so this is why it's important for us to practice our memory. Use your memory as much as you can. You begin to lose it if you don't. Our physical strength. We know it's vanity for people to lift weights, but there is, apart from the vanity of it, there is some reason in it. Because if you don't use the strength that you have, you lose it. And so this is why it's so dangerous to be in bed all the time. Couch potatoes. You know what happens to us then. We lose what we have been given. And this is our spiritual life. We must use the strength. That's the meaning of virtue, strength. We must use the strength that we have, the virtues that we have, as much as we can. And so what is an imperfection? It is practicing virtue not up to par. We don't practice virtue as much as we should. So you perform an act of virtue, but without the fervor that you should, that's an imperfection. You don't love God as much as you should love Him. Imperfection. It's not a sin. And when we have imperfections, they lead, believe it or not, to venial sin. When we are not practicing virtue as we should be, this leads us into venial sin. And if you think about it and pay attention to your spiritual life, you will see it. When we are guilty of imperfections, we see the result. Venial sin. The same way venial sin leads to mortal sin, imperfection leads to venial sin. And so we grow in virtue by practicing perfection. Virtue as we should, with as great as strength as we can. And then we grow. And so our Blessed Mother grew. This is her greatest feast. It's increased her virtue until her death. And so this feast of the Assumption is the celebration of her entrance into heaven. And we believe that this was the day that it happened. That's not part of what you must believe. That's a pious belief, that this was the day that she was assumed into heaven. This dogma, because that's what this is, that we has been raised now to the level of a dogma by Pope Pius XII in the year 1950 through the infallibility that has been given to the Catholic Church and specifically to the Holy Father. So in the same way that Pope Pius IX raised the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Mother to a dogma of the faith and made it a requirement for all Catholics. If you don't believe in the Immaculate Conception, you are no longer Catholic. And this is what happened in 1950. Pope Pius XII raised this belief of the Catholics from the time of the apostles, from the time that she was taken into heaven. He raised it to the level of a dogma. We always believed it, but it was not requirement. It was not a requirement for Catholics to believe it. Certainly it was dangerous to deny it. But in 1950, it became part of our Catholic faith. And if anyone denies it, he is no longer Catholic. But it was always been believed that this was the day that it took place. And what Pope Pius XII requires of us is that we believe just one thing, nothing else, that she has her body and soul in heaven. That's all. So we believe that our Blessed Mother has her body and soul in heaven. Exactly how it happened, we do not know. We believe that she died as a result of her nature, because physical creation, anything that is alive, always dies. Normally, when people die, it is a result of sin, because our Lord and because God said, because you have sinned, you will die. Adam and Eve were given the gift of immortality so that they would not be required to die. But that was an extra gift. We know that all living things on earth must die. But our Blessed Mother did not die because of sin, the same reason Christ did not die because of his sins. He died because of our sins. But he did not die because of any sin on his part, being God. And our Blessed Mother did not die because of any sin that she had committed. She was perfection itself. God had raised her up to the level of the divinity. Not that she was divine, but she was like God. And so she died because of nature and because God wanted her to imitate himself. He died and he wanted his mother to be just like him. And so we believe that she died. On what day, we do not know. And then subsequently, that she was taken to heaven, body and soul. What exactly happened in between is, there are many different beliefs, stories about what happened to our Blessed Mother between the time that she died or even before that, because we are told by some saints, pious Christians, that she was told, she was warned that her death was approaching by Saint Gabriel, the archangel, and that she should prepare for death. And so her preparation consisted of visiting the holy places, all of the places that she and her son had been, visiting her home in Nazareth before she went to heaven. And all that happened there where she lived, where they lived. And she visited, so they say, the tomb in which Christ was buried. And all of the holy places in Jerusalem, especially Calvary. And then she went back to her home. She announced to Saint John that she was going to die. And then it is said that the apostles were all called and they came for her death. and the angels came down from heaven and visited her. And who knows, maybe all of this took place, but we know that her death was one of great happiness, because she knew exactly what would happen to her. We're also told by the saints, especially Saint Bernard, but really all of the doctors and the great teachers of the church tell us that almost from the time of her creation, because of her great love of God, which was even at that moment beyond all understanding, that she, if she were not preserved miraculously, she would have died right at that moment because of her desire to be with God. And they say that this is especially true at the foot of the cross, because she would have wanted to die with her son. And at the ascension, when she saw her son, it was a miraculous preservation. So why did she not ascend into heaven with her son? Why did she not die and go to heaven with him? For us, for the apostles, and for us, she stayed here on earth. It is said that she lived to 72 years of age. And she stayed here on earth of her own free choice, but because God desired it. This was the beginning of the church. And now they were without our Lord and Savior, but they still had their mother. And so they depended on her, as you and I should. And they went to her for everything. She was their guide, spiritual counselor, even for the apostles. Saint Peter, Prince of the Apostles, went to his mother for guidance, as he had when our Savior was here on earth. So, this is what we believe, that she is in heaven now. And this is not, as you know, anything new, because this doctrine is traced back to the early church. We know that even the feast itself comes from the very earliest days in the church. In the 6th century, we have the saints telling us that this was the day that she ascended into heaven, was assumed into heaven, excuse me. This was the day, August 15th. And they, those saints at that time, said that this was an ancient feast, ancient belief, that this was the day. And we have documents from as early apocryphal works as early as the 2nd century, but they say, historians say, certainly they were from the 4th century, at least that far back. Possibly the 2nd century, that tell us all about her assumption and this feast. And we know for certain that in the 2nd century, there was great devotion to our mother. We say this because of the Protestants, because so many Protestants have, believe it or not, it is hard to believe, but they have an antipathy towards our Blessed Mother, the Mother of God, Mother of Christ. They get very upset because they are disturbed. He'd be up here. Get very upset when you speak about our Blessed Mother. As if this is some creation of the Middle Ages, Catholics from the Middle Ages. But you forget that our Blessed Mother is mentioned in the Bible, sacred scripture. She's mentioned before our Lord is mentioned. At the time of Adam and Eve, God mentions his mother redeeming us before he mentions his son. They forget that. And there are many other passages in sacred scripture which they like to quote. Many passages which cannot be explained if they do not refer to our Blessed Mother, even being in heaven and with her body. You see some of them in this Mass. If you didn't notice them, you can go back and read them again. References to the Blessed Virgin Mary being in heaven with her body. Not proof, but nevertheless, it is sacred scripture. And so we speak about this because of them, that she was our mother from the earliest days, Catholics, Christians, if you prefer. Christians were devoted to the Virgin Mary. And we see this in the writings, especially of Saint Irenaeus, who talks about his devotion, his prayers to our Blessed Mother. This is the second century, and he was almost like an apostolic father. There was only because he was taught by the apostolic fathers. So these men who learned the faith from the apostles taught Saint Irenaeus, and he had a great devotion to our mother. This is how far back it goes. Devotion to her. So we also see it in other ways. But the question that we want to ask this evening, and we want to answer, is why did she go to heaven with her body and soul? Why is this important for us? And there are many reasons for this, of course, more than we can mention, but one of the first is, one of the most important, is that it is a promise to us. We know that Christ has his body in heaven, and that's a great assurance for us, but this is further proof that in addition to God having his body in heaven, also his mother has her body there. So it's a promise to us. It's a reminder, if you'd prefer, reminder of the promise that he made that he would bring us to heaven. It's also a reminder that that is our home, not just for our souls, but for our bodies, because our mother is in heaven. She is our mother more than our physical, biological mother. She is our mother because God does nothing except through her. This is how much he, how high he has raised her. Nothing happens in the world without our Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, being intimately involved in it, having obtained the grace. God does everything through her now that she is in heaven. So this is a reminder, and it is a reminder not only that this earth should mean nothing to us, but that she loves us with her heart, that she sees us with her eyes, because she sees us with her physical eyes in God. How much does she love us? She loves us as she loves her Son. What confidence this should give us. And also, lastly, last of the things we mentioned to you about her being in heaven and why she is there, is that she deserved it. She is the first daughter of the Father. He loves her more than anyone. We know that people don't like to hear that either, that some people are loved by God more than others. But that's a fact. Who can, if he thinks about it, if he is not blinded, who could deny that God would love his mother more than anyone else? How much does God, the Savior, our Savior, how much does he love his mother? He loves his mother like he loves his Father. Doesn't that make sense? That he will love his mother and his father in a similar way? Don't we do that? And his God the Son, is he less a man than we are? Is he not like us? Does he not love his mother and his father similarly? So you see how much she deserves it. And also, don't forget that she's a spouse of the Holy Ghost. Lastly, brethren, we want you to remember on this day that this, and this comes from the saints, if you have a great love for the Mother of God and your mother, it is a sign that you are predestined to be with her. Sign of predestination. Now, this, you must have great love for her, not a little love. So we know many people would say that all that is necessary in order to be certain, relatively certain, to have great confidence that we are going to be saved, all that is necessary is that we accept Christ as our Savior. And so if we, let us say, love God, that's all we need. But remember that God loves his mother more than anyone. Now, does he not expect us to have the same love that he has? Can they say they love our Blessed Mother more than anyone except God? That they love her like they love her Son? Because that's what God does. He loves his mother as he loves his Son, God the Father. God the Son loves his mother similar to the way he loves his Father. Can they say that? We want to be like God, don't we? We want to imitate Jesus Christ. We want to be like him. And so, that's the first thing. You must love her like God loves her. This also, the saints loved her. They had great devotion to her. That's another reason why we should love her. Because the saints all loved her. God has made creation with a hierarchy, hasn't he? Everything in creation has a hierarchy. So some things are lower than others, some things are higher. So for instance, if you tried to go directly to speak to the president without obtaining permission or speaking to someone who knows the president, well, we don't know what would happen to you, but certainly it wouldn't be good, would it? And this is the way God has made all of creation. Even the sun, when he comes to us, what is he doing? He's bringing us to his Father. He said that himself. And so, why should not the mother bring us to her son? We remind you of all these things on this great feast so that you would have great devotion to our Mother in Heaven, and that you would have this as a sign of your predestination, that you would love your Mother in Heaven as you love God, not equally, but quasi-equally. The way she is quasi, has the dignity, quasi-infinite. Love, quasi-infinite. And that we would love her similar to the way we love God. And this would be, give you great confidence, great hope, and love. This is why she has been given to us, our mother. May God bless you.